Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Being Mayberry and have not a care in the world, right? I guess they had their own cares. Like, was Otis going to get arrested again tonight? Yeah, probably. And would Floyd give me a decent haircut? Yeah, probably not. But there were a few. I'm Andy Griffin. Welcome to the Andy Griffin Show on Open Line Friday. You can call anytime you want, 673-5890, and be part of the show. You can text me anytime you want at 435-467-5842. I just got a text and I left the screen. Ah, here we go. Okay. My wife says the person we were going to play pickleball with tonight is in Lake Powell. So I guess I will not be playing. We will not be playing with her tonight. By the way, Mello is here. Those of you who've been listening to the morning show, listen to Mello a bit. Mello, are you there?
Good morning. How are you?
There she is. Yeah. Nice. It's always, before your first word is spoken, I'm like, I hope it works.
Is it going to work? Yes. It works. Sometimes this mic is.
Because you're actually in another studio. Mm-hmm. I can see you through a sort of, you can see me better than I can see you because I have a lot of reflection on the sun glint and glare mm-hmm. and all that. So, but yeah, thanks for being here. Are you, do you feel like you can do this thing on Monday? You can run the show? Not just this show, all of it.
I know. I think I can. I think it might be a little rough if people can be patient with me as I'm figuring it out. There's literally something every 2 to 3 minutes for 3 or 4 hours. So it's a little intimidating. Like, your job's not easy. Kudos to you. So
my wife was like, Mello is so good at talking on the air. How come she's having a hard time with this stuff? I said, well, really, it's two different jobs here. This show, yeah, you do a lot of talking and showing your personality, which is great. There's not a lot of time for personality stuff. It's strict script and time constraints all morning long and the rest of the morning. So.
Right, and it's not only just, okay, I hit this button and now I can talk. Now you have to read your story, go through it, and you have to end it at a certain time and call off on it and hit every person that's
sponsoring. Don't forget the sponsor, and yes, don't forget the sound button, the music button in the background, and yeah, yes, there's a lot going on.
It's a lot. I mean, you've left meticulous notes, so I think I can, and I've got my own little notes next to it. I think I could do it. I think I want to try, and like, okay, if I totally stink at it, then they'll tell me by day two, and then it'll be all the your shows.
And
recorded.
Donald Trump will show up and say, you're fired. Everybody, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being here. A lot of talk about the fire. In fact, having lunch with my sister the other day, she said, seems like there's a lot of fires this year. There are. In fact, there have literally been, if you count house fires, and there have been hundreds just mm-hmm. in the month of, well, it's August now. In the month of July, there were hundreds of fires around the state of Utah. And, of course, there were some big ones. We had, of course, the Forsyth Fire just up there at Pine Valley. And some homes burned, and that's sad. And hopefully they're getting, you know, figuring out what to do about those and getting, you know, hopefully insurance will pay and they'll get those rebuilt. But the biggest fire in the state right now is the Monroe Canyon Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually were up there. You went to Ephraim, right?
Yes.
This last weekend.
Yesterday.
Oh, it was just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you got to see firsthand all the smoke. I saw it was the beginnings of the fire when I was coming back last weekend, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of smoke.
Yeah, in that canyon, you can just see from like ridge to ridge, it's just smoke in the whole valley. Like Ephraim, you can smell the smoke even before then. You can just smell the smoke in the air. It's pretty sad.
Okay, the latest numbers on that fire, we're at, I think is it 48,000? Is that the number?
Yeah.
Yeah, 48,000 acres have burned with the Monroe Canyon Fire right now, which is, that's a lot. And Governor Cox has declared a state of emergency for the state of Utah because of the fires. They really are kind of holding their breath for when the next big one hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Monroe Canyon Fire at 48,000 acres is the biggest fire we've had in Utah in a decade, in 10 years.
Wow.
But it is not the biggest fire we've ever had here. In fact, Mello, any guess on the biggest fire ever in Utah?
I have not even one.
You don't even want to throw it out there and throw a shot at it?
Was it in northern Utah or southern Utah?
It was actually in south central Utah.
I don't know names of the fires.
It was called the Milford Flats Fire. And the Milford Flats Fire took 97, I think it was, burned 360,000 acres. So it was a lot bigger than the one we have going now, which because they're, you know, they list the containment of fires, right? And mm-hmm. you get up to 10, 20, 30, and this one was actually up over 30. And then they had, 2 nights ago, they had high winds and dry weather, and it went down, actually. And you don't expect the containment to go down.
Right, reducing that.
But it actually jumped the fire lines and jumped a road, and that fire went back up. And I also have for you the all-time largest fire in the history of the United States. You ready for that one?
Yes.
It was called the Great Fire. It happened in 1910, so a long, long time ago.
Okay, I think I know where this was.
It was in Idaho, Montana, and Washington.
No, I didn't know that.
It wasn't the Great Chicago Fire.
Oh, that's
this
was
just
I was
the,
with.
The Great Fire. and it burned, unbelievably, 3 million acres.
What?
Before they were finally able to get it contained. Idaho, Montana, and Washington, 3 million acres of land. Yeah, unbelievable, huh? It's, mm-hmm. I mean, the size of that. Let's see. Text. Okay. They said, we like what Mello's doing. You can do it. Might help to take a new script home and practice.
Well, it's hard.
Not a bad idea.
I like that. It's just the news is that morning.
Well, and the thing about it, too, you found this, is the first news, you know, if you're in the 6 o'clock hour, the first news is a little bit rough, you know, and then you get better as the day goes on. And by the last newscast at 8:30, you're like, yeah, I got this down.
Right. And I think I'll get here even earlier. I think I got here this morning at like 4:50. So I think if I got here,
people are like, what?
Like at 4:30, then maybe
what? 4:30.
I have time to rehearse, so I'll do that. That was hard, though.
That is so darn early. I mean, when you go to work and it's dark, the other night we were driving home. It was like 10 o'clock at night, so it was dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pulling in the driveway, and I'm like, you know what sucks is I have to go to work when it's dark still. Like, this is already the same dark that I'm going to be going to work in like 6 hours. That kind of sucks.
Feels like a ripoff for your sleep. You wake up and everybody's sleeping, like my husband's sleeping, and I'm like, yep, it's time to get up.
All right, Mello, I want there's a ethical question I want you to answer for me. yesterday was a weird show because I tried to have Celeste Malloy on, and she was calling me by phone to be on the show, and she was driving. And unfortunately, when you're driving, you go in and out of zones where you don't have good, you know, cell signal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I lost her a few times. So it was Celeste for a little while, and then me kind of pontificating for a little while, and then Celeste, and then me, and then Celeste, and then I think we lost her like 4 different times during the course of the show. Well, one of the segments I did when she was not on the air and I was waiting for her to call back was I talked about, so a man had gotten beaten up at a party here in town by 3 guys. And one of the things, the point that I was trying to make, and the reason I bring this up, somebody emailed about this, someone was angry. And the point I was trying to make, but I never really got to it because Celeste then called back right in the middle of this was, and I will ask you this question. Is it ever okay for someone to get a beating? Ever? In any instance?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Too. Mm-hmm. But when I said that, so I made that point. There is occasionally justification for a beating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whoever was listening and sent an email to my boss, thank you, by the way, for emailing my boss and not me. I appreciate that. They said he should apologize. There is never a justification ever for a beating. And I was like, really? So my two boss, the big boss and my immediate boss, were in the room, and I said, okay, what would you guys do if you walked into a room and somebody was molesting your child?
That's where my head went.
Is that okay? Do you say, hey, don't do that and tell them to leave?
Will you please leave? We're going to have a conversation.
I don't think I could do that.
Mm-mm.
In fact, I told my wife once, I said, honey, I hope you understand, and please forgive me for this, but if I ever walk in with someone doing something to one of my children, or my wife for that matter, I'm probably going to end up in jail because I am going to beat the living daylights out of that person.
Mm-hmm.
If they violate, you know what, if they punch him in the arm or something, no, I'm talking about real serious violations, especially of a sexual nature.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably be going to jail for at least for a little while because I would not hold back.
Aren't you supposed to be able to defend your life and your liberty and your family?
Well, exactly. And, like, and then
that's
where
I go to, not necessarily a beating, but stopping what it is, whatever you have to do to stop that.
I have always felt like if someone molested your child,
mm-hmm.
I know this is a little extreme, and I'm going to get in trouble here, and probably someone will email the boss, and they want an apology. But I've always felt like if someone molested your child, the punishment shouldn't be, you know, whatever, 10 years in jail, whatever. The punishment should be take a couple of uncles and the dad of this child, give them baseball bats, and go in a room with this person. Mm. And everybody's like, oh, that's terrible, Andy.
I think that's a little terrible. Much. But I think, like, in the instant to prevent it from happening, then, yes, you can stop it. But I don't think mob justice is the best, no.
Mm. You have children, don't you?
I do.
Haven't you ever felt the indignation and anger of someone wronging your child? And I don't mean your teacher gave your kid a bad grade. I don't mean something like, I mean really, literally, physically doing something to your kid. And maybe it's a man-woman thing, because the anger that a man feels when, like my job as dad and husband, I've always taken very seriously as being protecting my family, protecting them. And if someone violated that sacred duty I've been given, I would be pretty upset.
And I think that there's truth in the male versus female, but I've had things happen to my kids, and I haven't gone off on that kind of tangent. You know what I mean?
I will say this in what you, kind of along with what you're saying, Mello, is, you know, when you have daughters, I have two daughters, and when they're like 12 or 13, you're like, yeah, some guy tries to mess around with my daughter. You know, and not a guy, but like if she gets a boyfriend and he touches her, in the I'm going to get him, you know. And when he shows up to pick her up on a date, I'm going to be sitting at this table cleaning my gun and stuff like that's all fine and dandy. You can say that, right? But let's be realistic, right? You can't take someone's life just because you know, your daughter snuck out and fooled around with him that night. That's not realistic. And you know, I found that out the hard way because, my kids were not angels. And sometimes they did things that I didn't like. And sometimes there was another person involved. And what did I do to that person? Well, nothing. Because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take that cleaning your gun thing and go and use the gun. That's not realistic.
No.
As much as I want to say that, well, I'm going to go shoot him in the head if he does that. No, do that.
That's why we have laws, right?
Yeah. So it's a hard, harsh reality that I didn't like, but it is reality.
Yeah.
But then again, then you go to the, and I was talking with Jimmy yesterday about this. I said, what is the justification? I said, is there any justification ever for beating someone else, for beating them up? And he said, I see two, and remember, Jimmy's a pastor. He said, I only see two justifications ever. If someone harms you or if someone harms someone you love who can't protect themselves.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, but when does it stop? Like, do you punch them once and that's good?
I think when the act is stopped, like when you've gotten whatever was happening to stop, that was the reason that you went after somebody. So not to pummel them into
oblivion. What if the act is they had been doing it for 6 months? Then you say, okay, well, I'm going to stop when the act is stopped. Well, does that mean making it so they can't do it anymore?
No, that's when you report them and you get them arrested and let the law take over.
You're right. I know. But I don't like it.
I know. Will you say that one more time? That what? I'm right. I'm right.
You are probably kind of sort of correct.
Thank you.
You make it sound like I never say that you're right. I say that you're right sometimes. You're just not right very often.
I can count it on one hand.
Well,
one time.
That's not my fault. That's yours because you're not right very often. Okay. I'm just kidding, folks. Okay, let's go into your stupid criminal category right now. Okay, so this lady, and she has been convicted, so I can call her stupid now because she's been convicted of the crime. Daniela Erickson decides, hey, there's some petroglyphs over there that were drawn 1,000 years ago. I think I'll go carve my initials next to them. What the heck? Really? Really?
No, why?
Are you kidding me? I'm trying to think. I don't know. They don't list her age here, but I'm trying to think what was going through the thought process there of this person.
Yeah.
A 1,000-year-old petroglyph signifying, or whatever. They're not petroglyphs, are they? Those are the ones. Are those the ones here?
I think they're here.
Hieroglyphs are in Egypt. Petroglyphs are here, right? But what? Where did she? What didn't click in her brain to go? Yeah, I think I'll draw a picture of a kitty cat next to that and my initials. Like what?
Yeah,
really?
I think that's silly.
Why would you do that?
I don't know why you would do that. I'm just really glad that we have cell phones and everybody has a video camera now.
That's right.
Because then somebody saw her doing it and they made her go viral, and that's how she was caught.
She's not going to jail and probably shouldn't go to jail for that. You can't jail stupid, right? Maybe she should wear a sign. Here's your sign, you know, in Bill Engvall. But she was ordered to pay a total of $14,800 in fines plus restitution because they had to clean up her mess. But honestly, if she carved it in the rock with another rock, I don't know how much cleanup can you do on that, like without harming the petroglyphs. I don't know.
I don't know what they can do. That's a really good question.
So, I don't know. All right, tell us about this this crash you saw the other day.
Well, I was coming south, and I saw like all
So you had gone to Ephraim, right?
I'd gone to Ephraim, and we had
realty stuff.
Mm-hmm, yep. Okay. And we had just gotten back on the freeway, and I guess we were right around Summit. I don't know exactly where we were, but that's where the crash was. And I have Waze, so I saw that police were reported
ahead. I love Waze. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep. There was probably about four or five police cars like around this vehicle, and it was over on its side. It was like a white pickup, and it was on its side. Not in the median, but on the outside of the northbound lane.
So with that many cop cars, you figure this isn't just your run-of-the-mill crash, right?
Right. I thought for sure something had happened to whoever was in the car, though I didn't know the circumstances around it. And then the traffic was just backing up because, of course, they were having to stop the traffic in that right lane for everybody. And then that's what I saw. It was kind of crazy. I was like,
the truck was on its side, car surrounding it.
Yeah, there was like fibers, and they were like parallel. It's kind of weird. It's like a U-shape kind of thing around.
Well, as it turns out, that was a fatality. Mm-hmm. The person died in that. And which, you know, usually if you're in a rollover and there's a fatality involved, there was no seatbelts being worn. Like, pretty good chance there was no seatbelts.
Yeah.
So, I'm not trying to be callous here. That was somebody's kid, right, or whatever. But do you put your seatbelt on if you're in a police chase? I always wondered that.
I would definitely.
I mean, I've never been in a police chase on either end, the police or the bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just wondered, like, do they put their seatbelt on? I mean, if you're running from the cops, do you even have time to put it on? Well, you do if you're going. I don't know.
My question is, how do they spike strip, you know, when they put that strip out?
Yeah, they go to stop him? Roll that thing out and then pull it back off.
How do they do that when there's traffic on the freeway?
I think they because they can all communicate with each other, I think they're very, very careful about
it. Very quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that they're able to radio ahead and probably get the traffic to move out of the way and spike strip, I don't know, the whole thing and people pull off or...
I don't know. I don't know because traffic wasn't like packed up, but it was moving.
I should have asked that of someone like... I had Sheriff Brooksby on earlier this week. That was a great show. You know that shooter a couple of weeks, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, in Little Valley, the guy was shooting and they eventually tased him, you know, the house was on fire and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reports I had heard, many, many reports, I heard that he was just randomly shooting and he wasn't actually trying to hit anybody. And Nate Brooksby actively said, oh, that's not true at all. He said, we had an officer who was, he radioed in, said he was pinned down. He was actually behind a metal power pole.
Yes.
And he said there were, I think he said 13 308 rifle rounds hit that power pole where that police officer was.
Yeah.
Imagine this, 308 is not a small rifle. Imagine the sound those rounds were making as that guy's hiding behind that pole.
How terrifying.
With his life on the line. Yeah.
Yeah. That was I have sister-in-laws that live in that neighborhood just a street away.
Mm.
And it was terrifying for everybody in that neighborhood. And that's not the first time that person did something, which is sad too.
And again, I run the risk of making someone mad, I guess, but there was a post up just a couple of days after that said he was a really nice guy who just had a mental breakdown. He was a really nice guy. Well, you know what? There had been how many domestics called on that house?
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe he was having mental problems, but I don't know that I would go nice guy who had a mental breakdown. This is a guy that had multiple domestic problems and eventually ended up shooting trying to kill police officers.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it is a mental break for sure, but there have been signs about it. And with his last arrest, they should have had the guns removed from the home.
There should not have been a gun in that home at all. You're right. I was reading this story today. It's on Deseret.com about biking to work. And, you know, I'm not a bike to work kind of a guy. I mean, who wants a bike at 4 o'clock in the morning anyway, right? But there certainly are benefits to biking to work. You know, you aren't putting pollutants in the environment. You're exercising. It's good for your cardiovascular health. You're saving money on gas. There are a lot of great benefits to it. This I didn't know, though. I was reading about this. You know, you actually were eligible, were eligible. The government would pay you $20 a month. The federal government would pay you $20 a month to bike to work.
Really?
I did not know. I'm like, wait a minute. When did the government get into bribing people? And then I thought, got to thinking about, well, you know what? If you install solar, you can get a break on your bill. If you buy an electric car, they were incentivizing. They were giving, the government was giving you money. I say was because President Trump has put an end to a lot of these things, but the government actually has been doing that. They've been trying to bribe us Americans to act a certain way for a long time now.
Mm-hmm. Incentivizing. It works for potty training children. You incentivize them with a treat or a book or...
The question is it right? Is it something... I mean, isn't the whole, I don't know, purpose of government is to keep us safe? Like,
yeah.
How is that? I guess
it's not really their role, really, is
it? No, it's not at all. Yeah, just like... I hate to say it, but neither is building a rec center or running a golf course or something like that.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, I mean, how is that keeping us safe?
It's adding to our sense of community. It's giving you something that is more affordable because
Is that the government's job? We just said the government's job was to keep us safe.
Gosh, I don't like it when you use logic like that.
Hate it when he's logical.
Doggone it.
Yeah, my daughters say that sometimes too. Dad, quit being logical.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I know.
All right. Well, 9:30, we need to get a weather break in. We're hanging out with Mello today, who is going to run the board while we're gone, I believe, right? Have you fully committed? Are you in?
I think I am. My husband said, if this is what you want to do, then you need to do it. Just put up or shut up.
All right. Yeah. Way to go, Jeff. He's right.
Thanks a lot,
Jeff. He's right. Jump in with both feet. And if you drown, it happens. If you swim, right. I mean, yeah, that's how John Wayne taught that. Do you remember that famous scene from the movie? John Wayne and this little kid, he's like, hey, kid's like, hey, I want to learn how to swim. They're by a pond or whatever. So John Wayne throws him in the water, and the mom comes running. He doesn't know how to swim. And he said, well, he's going to learn how now, isn't he? So,
yeah. Right.
So. All right, let's do weather. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 935 on KDXU. Mello is here as well. Mello.
Hello.
You live in Santa Clara, right?
Yes.
How often would you say you use the boulevard?
Is
it a daily basis?
Yes. I work right off of 100 South.
Okay. So you use
Tabernacle.
You use the boulevard quite often then. Okay. I would say I'm on the boulevard every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Not every day, but probably every other day. The boulevard is undergoing, let's call it a facelift, shall we? Starting on Sunday, the UDOT will begin and by the way, it is a Utah State Road, technically, the boulevard.
Very interesting. I didn't think about that.
They'll begin what they call a roadway improvement project between River Road and Bluff Street, basically the whole length of the boulevard.
Mm.
And it will include upgrades to electrical systems, pedestrian ramps.
Really?
Ramps, I guess they're kind of ramps, right? Because the curb goes down when they're crosswalks and stuff. Replacement of the top layer of asphalt and new pavement signs and striping. The project will not be completed until November. So we're looking at 3.5, maybe 4 months of construction. Now, they are going to try to do most of the work at night.
That's so kind.
Which is good, between midnight and 6 a.m. Between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. But so August, they're going to focus on pedestrian ramps and reconstruction and traffic monitoring upgrades. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe
cameras?
Yeah, perhaps. And did you know, I thought this was fascinating. So when you go to you know how sometimes the light stays red if it's an off time, like midnight?
Yes.
And some interesting, you'll go up there and the light knows that you're there and it will change after a few seconds. So I was like, Is that like a weight thing? Do they put little weight pads in there, or what is it? Is it? And I was talking with a friend of mine, a traffic friend of mine, and he said it's a combination. They have cameras, but they also have magnets. They can tell when a large piece of metal, like a car, pulls up to an intersection.
Really?
I was blown away. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He says, show me one car that doesn't have metal in it. Well, all cars have metal in it. Even electric cars, if they're fiberglass bodies, you can say, well, there's no way. Well, yeah, but you know what? The nickel they use in the batteries, that's metal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, in September, they'll focus on the asphalt repaving of the boulevard. In October, they'll install paving signs and new striping. And then in November, they'll wrap up the project. But we just wanted to let people know that it might be a little difficult, but the boulevard gets so much traffic now. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Freeway to Santa Clara Ibans, where are you going to go? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you got Red Hills Parkway, but...
Yeah. I like 100 South.
Do you?
That's South. My cut through, because then I don't have all the lights.
Okay.
So I usually go 100 South from...
That's the one with all the roundabouts on it, right?
No.
A couple of them? No.
There's not any on 100 South.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking 100 East.
Tabernacle.
200. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So, anyway, just be aware. All right. Another thing I wanted to talk about. One of Mello's favorite words is bougie.
Bougie. You're so bougie.
Yeah. And I did not, we talked about this last year. I didn't know what that really meant. I could assume it's, you know, I don't know, cool or stylish or something, right? But what about the meaning, the history of the word bourgeois?
Bourgeois sounds kind of like a fancy,
not bedouin,
sexy thing.
Bourgeois. So back in it, you know, most of us came from Victorian England or Europe anyway, and bourgeois referred to. So there were basically three societal classes. There was the royalty, right? There was the peasants, the poor people. Mm. And then there was the bourgeois class, the middle class, the shop owners, the people who had some money, but they weren't royal. Mm. So they had money, but they didn't have the title.
Okay.
That was the bourgeois class.
Really?
And that is the origin of that word. And somehow it became bougie, and it's a cool thing, I guess. And so describe, for those that maybe don't know, Mel is going to describe to us what would be considered bougie right now.
I think bougie would be considered like having a really expensive purse. That'd be bougie.
Okay.
Or like your nails perfectly manicured and toes.
Oh.
Like, you're so bougie. All I'm right. Sure there's, I always call my friend bougie because she's always like got the cutest shirt. She's always got like the greatest purse. She drives like a Mercedes. You know what I mean? She's bougie. She's
so is bougie a compliment or an insult or both?
I think it's both.
Okay.
I mean, bougie isn't bad, but it is kind of like, I would say it's a little extra. You're like a little extra.
Okay.
Like her eyelashes,
extra. I, like that.
I call her bougie. Like every time I see a funny meme about eyelashes, I have to send it to her. So,
all right, let's say one of the areas that is dear to my heart, sunglasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've always been of the opinion, buy cheap sunglasses, you're going to lose them anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have friends, you're one of them, who spends a lot of money on sunglasses. And the argument in your case would be, if you spend money on it, you're going to take care of it, right? Whereas if you buy something cheap, if you lose it, big deal, right? And that which has kind of been my attitude. And I used to be that way, say, with shoes. I'd buy cheap shoes.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, in 4 months when they wore out, big deal. I'll just get some more. But then I recently, not recently, in the last maybe 10 years, I've discovered it's actually better to buy good shoes that are going to last you than it is to buy cheap shoes that you're going to have to replace because it's better for your feet.
Yeah.
It took me a while to realize that in that case, bougie is a good thing to buy new fancy shoes.
Yeah, I think it's quality.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to buy a quantity. You're going to have to buy more of those because they're not going to last. So I prefer to buy something of good quality that I'm not going to have to replace.
So are you bougie when it comes to sunglasses?
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Yes. So it's kind of, here's a definition, relating to a characteristic of someone who indulges in some of the luxuries and comforts of a fancy lifestyle.
Mm.
So yes, a fancy lifestyle would be nice sunglasses. And I do have a couple of pair of nice sunglasses.
So buying Kraft macaroni and cheese instead of generic would not qualify you as bougie, but buying, you know, Ray-Bans mm-hmm. might get you there instead of the $12 yeah. pair from Walmart.
Yeah, I am a little bit of a name brand stickler.
Are like you a snob?
Yeah, like I won't buy the Western Family mac and cheese.
Okay.
I will only
but
buy the Kraft.
I'm there with you on that one.
Yeah.
And to me, I was talking with Jimmy about this the other day. I'm sorry, but when it comes to toilet paper, you need to buy the good stuff. Don't yes. buy the generic sandpaper crap, yes. right? Don't I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain things. But I think across the board, I try to just, I don't like to go shopping. I don't shop very often. But when I do, I'm going to buy what
wait,
I know
wait,
I really
wait, say
want.
That. You don't like to go shopping?
I am not much of a shopper.
Really?
I used to be. Like, back when I was a stay-at-home mom, I was shopaholic. Like,
there,
that was my part-time job.
There is a gender stereotype that all women love shopping. You're saying you're not really into it.
I'm not. I don't love to go shopping. But I don't like to do online shopping very much. So I go to the grocery store. I don't get those delivered to my house like all my sister-in-laws. I actually go to the store and pick out my food.
Mm, yeah,
so
I'm still there
I go
with
in
you,
person.
Yeah.
But I think maybe now my time is more limited, so I just don't. Like,
so shopping
don't
had
to go.
Something had to go, right? If you're running out of time, something had to give, and I'd rather give up shopping than, you know, give away time with family or something like
right.
that.
Right, but I also started to minimalize the things that I own, too. So I don't want to bring stuff in. If I don't have a place for it, I don't need it, and I'm not going to use it. So it just limited my shopping.
I wish I could hire you for a couple of hours to go spend time at my stepmother-in-law's house. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, she is a hoarder, and we're all fit to be tied because yeah. she doesn't throw anything away ever.
Yep. That's my favorite thing to do, is to go through other people's stuff because I'm not emotionally attached to it.
So the other day, last weekend, we were up at my son's house, and he said, "Hey, you know, we had something like later in the morning, but early in the morning, we were just chilling, hanging out with this beautiful little granddaughter mm-hmm. of mine, just having a nice time." And my son said, "Oh, hey, I got someone coming over here. I think it was at 9 or 9:30 or something." I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "So you need to clear out of this one area." I'm like, "Okay." And he said, "I said, who is it that's coming?" He said, "Well, she's a professional organizer."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "So is she going to organize stuff today? Like, I never really heard about that, except from what you've told me." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, she's going to come and evaluate today.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we like what she says, we're going to ask her back to organize." And I was like, okay, I guess it couldn't hurt to try. And he goes, "Yeah, and we only pay her," it was some weird, crazy number, "per hour, you know, $100 an hour, whatever mm-hmm. it is." I'm like, okie dokie. So they came and she did her little evaluation. They gave her work for money for an hour or whatever, however long it took it. And I'm like, "Wow, that was interesting." And he goes, "Yeah, I like what she had to say. I think we're going to ask her back." I'm like, "What? Really?
Yeah.
Like, can't you just do what she just said it needed and just do it yourself?" And they actually brought her back and had a professional organizer do their pantry and their kitchen. And I think they just did the kitchen and pantry area. I don't think they did the whole house. But
yeah, I made $150 an hour doing that for people before.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super fun. I really enjoy going through people's things and sorting them and buying the baskets.
I like going through people's things too, but for
no,
a different
it's
way.
Fun. I love it. It's great to just like sort through everything and find spaces for everything. It's fun to have something go from chaos to order. It's just like the process.
Well, here's my question then. Okay, if you go in and organize something, these are the same people that made the mess in the first place. Aren't they going to just unorganize it over the next little while, or is that not your problem?
It's job security. It does happen.
Okay.
Like, I had people that I would go in monthly, and I would just reassess and just re-straighten things.
But it's not cleaning, right? You're not cleaning the house. You're organizing stuff.
You're organizing, but as you're organizing, you're also cleaning to an extent, because you're not going to put a container back on a dirty shelf. You're going to wipe down the shelf. You're going to make sure everything's nice and clean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My advice to those out there, don't let it get that bad in the first place, and then you won't need to hire someone for $150 an hour to organize. That's my thought, anyway, and that's I learned that from my beautiful wife. So we got to pay some bills, Mello. We'll be right
Let's
back. Okay.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
A couple of couple of texts I got in the last segment, the Boulevard reconstruction. Somebody said, yeah, I remember the Boulevard construction from 2006 and a big ugh. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be a pain. And all I would say to that is it's got to happen. It needs to happen. And if you really hate it, find a different way around. I know it's easy. Like you said, 100 South, maybe. Mm-hmm. I use 700 South a lot. You can go around, you know, down around Dixie Drive, that area, if you need to get over there to the east side.
Mm-hmm. And the Turtle Road, too,
yeah,
wraps you around. I like to take that sometimes.
Turtle Road, which is, I think it's Red Hills Parkway until it hits Bluff, and then it's Snow Canyon Parkway after that.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but we've all of us locals have affectionately called it Turtle Road for a long time. Why? Because, well, we had to fight a lot of people who were pro-tortoise, I guess I should say, to get that thing put in. And now we're back to the fight with the Northern Corridor, same kind of thing. So.
Yeah. It's a great road.
But I am going to be gone next week. For those of you that didn't hear yesterday, I did a long thing, but basically, my anniversary is always during football season. I work during football season doing football games. And so my wife and I, every year for a long time, I'm going to say 15, 20 years, have taken a trip right before football starts. And that is next week. So
nice.
We're going to do a little anniversary trip, even though it's not our anniversary till October. So first week of October is our anniversary. So we're going to go. In fact, if anybody has any recommendations, we're going to end up in the Bahamas.
Nice.
Never been there. I know nothing about it. And if anybody wants to text me and say, hey, don't miss out on this kind of food, or don't miss out on this beach, or whatever, you can text me at 435-467-5842. Have you been to the Bahamas, Mel?
No.
No. Okay.
I'm not a world traveler. I just kind of like to stick around.
But you've been all around the U.S.
I know. Yeah, that I have.
So just not outside the U.S., huh?
No. Nope,
have you been outside the U.S.?
It's kind of a really rotten trip. I went to England,
okay,
but we took a military hop, and so we...
Wait, you were on one of those, like, C-30 transports or whatever they are?
No, it was a real plane, but it was, like, a military hop, so we didn't have to pay. I think we paid, like, $25 to go.
Oh, wow.
And they flew us to England, but then we had our kids back in the States, and my sister had flown out to watch them, so we had to get back by a certain day to be back in time for her to leave.
Mm.
So we went around, slept at a hotel one night, and came back. Like, we were there literally, like, maybe 36 hours. Maybe. Not even that.
Wow.
It was a really fast trip.
You didn't exactly experience the British culture, did you?
No. I got to walk around. I loved the yield signs because they say, give way.
Give way, lad.
Give way. Give way. And, like, the toilets, you have to pay to go in the toilets. But they're all nice and clean. And the phone booths. It was like, the double-decker bus, we rode that. We had fish and chips. It was just... in and out.
I remember we did a Europe trip last year, and Gary Sorensen from Morris Columbus Travel, he was like, I'm going to give you some euros, some coins.
Mm.
I said, what do I need these for? He goes, well, the thing about it is if you're on the street and you need to go to the bathroom and it's pretty bad and you don't have money, you're kind of in trouble. You pay to get in the toilets in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really? Like, they would rather have people peeing in the street if they didn't have any money. No, I don't know what the reason. They pay.
Yeah.
So.
But there's an attendant in there, and they stay
really
nice and clean. Yeah.
Do you have to tip them?
I didn't, but
okay.
I was like 25.
I wondered about that. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Again, a reminder, Boulevard reconstruction, repaving, and all that stuff over the next couple of months on the Boulevard. They're doing most of the work at night, but there will be, you know, lane cutoffs and barrels and things like that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, the city, again, is like, look, we're sorry, but this has to be done. It needs to be done. So,
no. And they're being considerate about it, doing it at night. That's super nice.
I agree. Locals know the road as Skyline Drive. That's a good point. Yeah.
Really?
That used to be Skyline. Now, I think Skyline is the road that leads up to it now.
I think
they changed the name.
Yeah, that's true.
It used to be Skyline, though, up there on the hill by the Sugar Loaf, which locals call the Sugar Loaf, not the Dixie Rock.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Yellowstone a couple of weeks ago, and we're waiting in line to... They have... No, not Yellowstone. This was in Grand Teton. We're waiting in line to take the... They have this shuttle boat that takes you across the lake. It's pretty cool, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
You're this big, giant lake, and it takes you to a waterfall and all this stuff. Anyway, we're waiting in line, and these two guys walk up to us, and my son was wearing a St. George shirt, and I was wearing, like, a Bryce Canyon shirt or something. And so the guys were like, where are you from? And we're like, oh, boy, here we go. We're from Utah. And they're like, yeah, so are we. What part? Well, you're from St. George? Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, we've all grew up in St. George.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I got to ask you a question. What's the name of that red rock with the Dixie sign on it up in the hill? My son goes, that's the Dixie rock. And I'm like, oh, AJ.
No.
That's a sugar loaf. And they said, I can tell you're not really from St. George because that's not the Dixie rock. That's the sugar loaf. Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. I've only been here 31 years. AJ has been here. He's 33. He's been here in kind of away from college for a few years. He's probably been here 25 of his 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think we're actually officially called natives yet.
No.
And you've been here less than that, right?
Yeah, I think I moved here in 2013. But why is it called Sugarloaf?
Because it looks like a sugar. You don't know the story?
I don't know the story.
Oh, okay.
You have to tell me another day.
Well, yeah, we don't have time to talk about that right now. But it actually looks like a loaf. Well, it's
a loaf of sugar, sure. Okay. We'll go back to that.
It's a whole story, yeah. So, found a story online talking about crime in America. And, you know, we hear about stabbings and shootings and, you know, especially in recent, I mean, what was it, 2 days ago, there were two mass shootings in one day where
yes.
There were like four people killed in each location. And so in our mind, the perception is, much like our perception about some of the minority things we see in this world,
mm-hmm.
because they get the headlines, they're loud, you know,
mm-hmm.
we think it's actually prevalent. Do you know the crime rate is actually going down?
Really?
It is actually going down. In fact, in 2025, if trends continue like they have been the first, 7 months of 2025, there's a very strong possibility that the U.S. will report the lowest murder rate ever recorded, the lowest property crime rate ever recorded, and the lowest violent crime rate in about 60 years.
Wow.
Now, I realize population is going up. So you say, well, it's a rate. So there's still as many as there were. It's just that there are more people now. Well, yeah, that's true.
Mm.
But when you think percentages, you know, we hear on the news, you know, and I've said it many times, if it bleeds, it leads. That's what they teach you in journalism school,
okay.
Right? Because people aren't going to listen to the story if you're telling about a puppy dog that learned how to potty train. They're not going to read. But if the dog bites the guy's hand off, then that's, you know, interesting. So, but the truth is, with all the social media and all the regular media that we have, we all think crime is worse than it's ever been. It's not, actually.
That's so interesting because that's not what's portrayed to you, right?
Yeah, that's what we are led to believe. This is the worst world than it's ever been in history.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not. It's going down.
That's so good.
I don't think it's time to defund any police departments, though.
Never.
Like that New York mayor guy candidate wants to do.
Did you see he came back and said
I didn't mean that. No, I don't want to defund the police.
No, that was just in the moment with everybody else saying it, too. I follow the crowd.
Crazy guy.
Yeah. Darn him.
I'm glad I don't live in New York City. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I live in Mayberry. Well, okay, maybe St. George isn't quite Mayberry anymore, but it's a pretty awesome place to live.
I do love St. George.
So. Mello, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Thank you for everything.
I wish you all the best next week. there is that certain mindset when you're on a vacation where you don't really care anymore about what's happening back home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say you don't really care. It's just that you're in the moment of living the vacation. So while I do wish you the best and really hope you do well, don't call me.
I won't call you, Andy.
I won't be available anyway. We're going to be down there.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. It is the Andy Griffin Show, and we will. I'll be back a week from Tuesday. Mello will be here every day next week.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mello.
Thanks.
See you guys later.